You're listening to the CoSound podcast, bringing you the best of independent music, industry news, tips, tricks, and interviews. Never miss an episode by subscribing today or tune in via the CoSound app.
As the music industry says goodbye to June and Pride Month 2021, we turn our focus to the summer and live events. Or let's say we would if we could. But here at CoSound, we're in the Pride spirit AM to PM 7 days a week. So why not head into July shining a light on both the LGBTQ plus community and live events? With that being said, let's say hello to my next guest. Here is my interview with Liam John.
You're listening to the CoSound podcast. And now for the episode.
Right, people, we're back for another episode of the CoSound podcast. And let's be honest, we're ending Pride Month on the best way possible. I am joined by promoter and events manager, one of Bristol's own, Liam John. How are you feeling today?
Thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, very good, thank you. It's really nice to be getting involved with this project, especially on the back of Pride Month, as you've just said. So yeah, thank you very much for welcoming me to take part in this today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to start this the way I've started every single interview this month. If you could let me know what your pronouns are.
He and him.
Fantastic. And my second question is, how did you get your start in music?
Wow. I mean, music's always been a part of myself growing up as a kid. I was always in school plays and studied music, played the clarinet and things like that. I used to sing a lot of jazz and big band music at school. But then when I was 16, I started getting into my dance music and stuff, and I was very drawn to like the Chicago house scene, which is influenced by a lot of R&B, jazz, and big band music. So that just kind of seemed like a natural fit for me. So music has always been my drive and passion. But I think it was about 7 years ago now, I was working for a hairdresser's, and we used to do pop-up stuff at festivals. Cutting hair while providing great dance music and DJs and drag queens and things like that. So that was my first taste of promoting. And then I managed to get myself a job at Motion in Bristol, and which I started as an artist liaison runner. So I was just working backstage at the venues, looking after all the DJs and things like that, agents, management. And then that led me on to becoming the artist liaison manager, which then saw me managing quite a few different teams across the world at different festivals and whatnot. So then just working in that industry and meeting so many different creative people and working at a venue like Motion, you know, I took the opportunity and used my platform, you know, the business that I was involved with to create our party, Bitch Please.
Yeah, I want to get onto that. What is Bitch Please and how did it come about?
So Bitch Please is it's a party, it's a gathering, it's a community event, but we focus more on dance music, house music, disco, techno and stuff. And basically, I'd say when I started coming up to Bristol when I was a lot younger than 18, the music scene in Bristol was very dance house music orientated. And I think there was this moment in time when the gay community became a lot more accepted and cool to go to gay bars and stuff for, say, the heterosexual community. Yeah. And there was this big shift from, you know, the house music scene, which does, you know, come sometimes along with drugs, et cetera. And there was this kind of shift where it was deemed, you know, a not a good thing, having dance music and stuff in our community. So all the bars and the clubs kind of became very generic with what was going on. And there's this huge community of creative people, performers, musicians, DJs and stuff that just didn't really fit in anywhere. And we've had successful promoters in Bristol, like Don't Tell Your Mother, Horseplay, that were able to step away from the queer venues and find new spaces where we as community members could flourish with different types of music, different communities. And we started Bitch Please purely because there was something missing from the community. And dance music very much originated from the gay clubs, you know, going back to Studio 54 days, which was very much celebrated. And we just felt like our city was missing something, basically. And someone who was prepared to take on, you know, the big clubs, the heterosexual environments, kind of reclaiming our dance floors, basically.
When you say drugs, and I'll loosely say the word culture around that, are you saying that you wanted to get away from that? As in, it's really not a thing that you guys do. It shouldn't be at any club, really. Of course, the law is the law.
Of course,
but
yeah.
Do you guys really kind of like hone in on that as your one of your messages, as this is a thing that we do not do at Bitch Please?
Yeah, but also it's creating a space where, like I say, it comes hand in hand with the culture. We can't control who comes in through the doors and who's taking substances and things like that. But also creating a space where the security, the paramedics, and us as promoters are creating a safe space in regards to, if people are coming to do this kind of stuff, we know how to handle it. We know how to look after people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's prepared on those levels. Again, like I said, you can't control what comes into a club, unfortunately. But our message is integration of different communities coming together to have fun in a safe environment, basically.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Let's go from kind of one solved problem to another then. COVID is,
yes.
Let's say the last 18 months have not been great for the events industry. What do you think the UK club scene, or the club scene maybe around the world, we may not just talk about UK here, what do you think we have to do to survive this pandemic?
It's been so challenging as promoters. I mean, there's all different types of promoters. You know, for us, example, we're very small time promoters. We don't have a lot of money behind us. And every penny we raise from our events go to putting the next event on. We don't generally make any profit. So it's been quite a challenging time to recreate yourselves and how to keep yourself present during these times. You know, we saw a lot of people going online and doing live streaming, which we also did ourselves, and we were working with Caring in Bristol, so we managed to get a handful of DJs from across the UK to do some live streams, so we could raise funds for the charity, which we raised £1,000 for. So, you know, we kept ourselves present and we were doing some good during these times and just trying to keep everyone engaged with us. But it's so challenging at the moment in regards to the venues. You know, they are hemorrhaging so much money, you know, trying to keep their businesses afloat. And, you know, it's quite clear that the government haven't really, you know, taken an interest in our events community, which you know,
that,
is such a broad thing, you know, with our theatres, you know, theatres, clubs, pubs, hospitality, obviously all of us have been really affected by it. And it's very hard, you know, when half the country is still unemployed, losing their livelihoods, you know, the money that people are, like, you know, remortgaging houses to try and keep venues afloat and things like that. And it's just been very just left to us. But then obviously when things are back up and running again, the government are going to be looking at us to be bringing in such a big revenue again to the country. So it is very challenging at the moment. We've announced pride parties for Bristol Pride, obviously on the 10th of July, and then the government pushback. So that's thousands of pounds that we've thrown into an event, which we could potentially lose again now, and then having to recreate sit-down sessions and things like that. So it has been very challenging. I think the I say plus side is we know there are other things now we can do if anything like this comes up again, you know, with the socially distancing, things like that, and doing sit down sessions. But yeah, it's been very, very hard. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of loss in regards to promoters, such great big events, you know, just gone now because of what's been going on. So it's been challenging, and I just hope, you know, people just hold on to everything they do and their talent, and just wait until we're out of all of this, basically.
Yeah, you and I clearly didn't take the government advice last year in retraining cyber. You've probably got your ear to the ground better than I have. So I'll ask you for what do you think artists are currently thinking right now? Especially, well, actually, let me ask you, and then you give me what you think the artists are thinking. Where do we stand with today's rules? And do you think more people are kind of, if we go into another lockdown, do you think you may have to go elsewhere? Are we going to lose this community spirit? Are we going to lose these, let's say, not so well-funded events? And do you think the artists, anyone from singer-songwriters to drag queens, do you think they're going to shy away from it? Because the money's not there.
It is really, really, really hard. I mean, I think anyone that's creative at all, you know, we choose a path that is very challenging, to become a solid figure in that scene and to be raising money, you know, good paid jobs and stuff. That is naturally a hard thing to do anyway. And now, obviously, with this obstacle of no events and no money and stuff, we will see a loss in all these creative people, because they have to take jobs within the normal society. You know, and that was something that I refused to do. You know, I've paid my taxes all of my life. And as a gay man, apart from things that go on your local community, there's not a lot we actually ask for out of this tax money and stuff. So I refused to get that job at Tesco, or Aldi, and just persevere. But it's quite hard. I'm lucky I have a team around me. I have my business partners, Ellie Stokes and Suze Rosser. So I've been lucky that the three of us, you know, have been able to stick together and just keep each other motivated and, like say, trying to become creative. But we're also faced with Brexit and stuff in regards to events industries. And obviously, when we come out of this, we still have to deal with the fact that a lot of these people have to apply for visas now to come and perform in our country and don't actually get a lot of touring time when they're allowed to visit the country. So we're also dealing with that backlash of Brexit as well. And it's just been a whirlwind of a year trying to coincide with what's going on with Brexit and COVID.
Do you think the artists that you work with closely, they've got the same mindset?
Yeah, I think so, totally. I mean, no one knows what the future is. And again, we're in this industry where, you know, festivals, etc., you know, the fashion of a festival could end next week and we could be out of jobs and things like that. And I think that we're always on that kind of risk of, you know, something not always being forever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just think that is a... we're already always naturally like feeling that anxious of, you know, how long will this last of our creativity and stuff, and will we be able to keep up with how the future events industry becomes. Sorry, I'm blabbering now.
Oh no, I love it. Let's go from enough talk about maybe government. Mm-hmm. Let's keep an eye on what they're thinking and what they're going to do. Let's jump to more community spirit, the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, of course.
As an events industry, what do you think, and this is not just the community itself, this is everyone, a wider audience, what do you think we have to do to become better at looking after the LGBTQ plus community, both promoters, managers, artists?
Yeah, I mean, safe spaces obviously are so important for our community, and that's one thing that, you know, we've really strived with our ethos of Bitch Please is that everyone and anyone can come to our events. You know, having trans people bearing their scars, dancing with their tops off, stood next to a heterosexual person, and not feeling threatened or worried about who is there at that event. Safe spaces are so important. And, you know, like I say, we're on the verge of losing a lot of these safe spaces for our community. Loving other people, it's cheesy as it sounds, but there can be a lot of bigotry within our community from one another. And I think we need to just be really mindful and open to all the different types of walks of life that are in our community and sticking together. I mean, through history, we've proven by sticking together in the masses that, you know, we belong here as a community. And yeah, like I said, the threat of losing safe spaces in our community is quite high at the moment. So we just really need to stick together on this.
Mm. Do you, now this might be a bit of a tough one. Do you consider maybe the commercialization of Pride is taken away from the true meaning and history of what this month means?
Yeah, totally. I think Pride, main Pride events,
sorry that I'm throwing this one at you.
No, not at all, because I think it's a very, very important point to talk about. I feel that a lot of Pride Day events are focused on more about pleasing the eye of heterosexual communities, so they feel welcome to come to our events. And a lot of aspects of our community are kind of watered down or kept out of these events. And the commercialization of Pride in itself, every company jumping on the rainbow bandwagon, wanting to throw money into the organizations and stuff. This is, over the last few years, being quite a high topic focal point. I definitely think and feel that it's affecting what we're about. Even with the whole government trying to put the bill in regards to protests and stuff, you know, our Pride marches became labeled Pride parades, and it was kind of like, I don't know, I just felt very like, you know, we should be carrying on as what this day is, and which is a protest, you know, for our rights as LGBTQ people. Mm. And I think, like you say, it has kind of been shunned away that a more of a money marketing experience and day. You know, do these companies follow through with supporting our community after that one day, or do their pride flags come down straight away?
That's the issue. And also, I as a straight man looking from at the outside looking in, I see these Pride events as a lesson. It's education. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. You don't really get that in school. But to me, Pride has just always been a lot of people with like rainbow paint over their face and getting drunk. Mm-hmm. Up until recent years, where people have actually wanted to have the conversation, this is the kind of true meaning, this is it. Mm-hmm. Do you also think that takes away from it as well? The teenagers who just run around getting pissed on a field?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, for me, I was thinking about this question earlier, you know, what does Pride mean to me? And Pride means to me, like, you know, this, my personal struggle, the pride I took on, you know, who I am as a person, and not being silenced because of that. I grew up in an army household, which could be quite intimidating for any child to be gay, to be queer. And kind of felt like I had a lot of people controlling my destiny as a person and who I was, and this was just one thing that I wasn't going to budge on. So, you know, I moved out of home when I was 16, and you know, that struggle is real. And when I look back on the word pride, it's my own personal journey of, like I say, being proud of who I am and controlling my life and running with it. And I think people don't stop to think of everything. You know, there's a lot of gay people out there, but we've all got our own personal story of our struggle of coming out and being who we are. So I think people tend to you know, forget about that part of it, like you say, and just paint their faces up and run around and, oh, it's a fun day kind of thing. Well, you know, there's a history behind it. And I think people really do need to learn that. I think there's a lot of, there can be sometimes a lot of racism within our own community in regard to marches and stuff. And people forget also that if it wasn't for Black people of color, trans women, you know, we wouldn't have Pride. And you know, you see this racism and it's like, guys, you know, you wouldn't be up here doing this now if it wasn't for this community. So just like, you know, do your homework, really learn about what Pride means. And I think, you know, you would have a different outlook on that day.
Yeah, definitely. You know what, you actually took my my last question from me, which was, what does Pride mean to you? However, you said something interesting there about the 16-year-old you. Now, I'd love to know, and this is my final one for you today, so I'm sorry for grilling you.
No, at all.
But what would you say to 16-year-old Liam now?
Oh, God. What would I say to 16-year-old Liam? That is a very hard question. Give me a minute on that one.
Yeah, take your time. Take your time.
What I would say to 16-year-old Liam, keep your head up high. You know, times are going to be tough within your own family unit and your regarding your sexuality and other people's outlooks on queer people could bring you down. But just stay true to who you are and keep persevering. There's only one person you need to look out for in life, and that's yourself. Flourish in your creativity and be proud.
Liam, thank you so much. We're going to continue July diving deeper into the events industry with even more great guests to come. My time here is up, but it continues elsewhere. Go follow us at CoSound on Twitter. We're at CoSound HQ on Instagram. And if you want to follow me, I'm at ZaidCreate on all of the above. Click subscribe, follow, or whatever button you see in front of you. This has been the CoSound Podcast. My name is Zaid, and we'll see you all next time.
You've been listening to the CoSound Podcast. To download the app, head over to www.cosound.com/download and join the fastest growing music industry community today.